And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week. We pick up our study here in Mark chapter 3, verse number 31. Mark 3, verse number 31. The scribes that came from Jerusalem have accused the Lord Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan. And the Lord has made great warning. He's broken down their logic in this, and then he's laid it open and such. But then he points out a very important thing, that you don't blaspheme against the Holy Spirit of God, accusing his work, attributing his work to the working of the spirit of Satan. You just don't do that. That is very, very dangerous ground. You don't have to worry. I don't believe we have to worry about doing so ignorantly. I believe that those who do so willfully and with understanding of what they are doing. It's a fair that involves the hatred of the Lord, and not that of ignorance. In Mark chapter 3, verse number 31, the scripture says, "And there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him." And so Mary and the Lord's half-brother and even some of his sisters are there, and they're wanting to talk with him. They're needing to speak with him. "And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee." And so your mom is out there, Jesus, and your brothers are out there. They're looking for you. They're looking to find you. And so they're just relaying the word. Listen to what Jesus says. And the thing is this is not, at the first miracle that our Lord did. It's thought that maybe by some that maybe that the Lord Jesus is being disrespectful to his mother, and by no means is that the case. He is God, and he has full understanding of what's important and what's at hand and such as that. Where he says there, the Mary comes to the Lord Jesus, says they've run out of wine, and the Lord Jesus says, "What have I to do with thee, woman? Mine hour is not yet come." And so they think that that's very disrespectful. The Lord's just making clear there he's on his own time frame. He knew they were out of wine. And so here the Lord Jesus is not being disrespectful to Mary and to his brethren, but he's emphasizing the point of his calling and what he's been given to do by God the Father, the greatness of that. Our families are a blessing unto us. Our spouses are, for men, wives, and for wives, their husbands, and there's no other marital relationship but that. And then children that come from the marriage of men and women, that of home and family is a great blessing from God. It's his great design. He designed it. He came up with it. That's the reason there's an onslaught to redefine it and to change it by men, but it won't be changed. The Lord's mind has never been changed about it. He's done it the way that he's pleased, and that's the way it is. And so that home and family is a great blessing from our Lord. Yet the Lord Jesus is looking always at the eternal picture. Okay? And so may we understand, we enjoy the blessings of home and family that the Lord gives us here in this time. But the Lord Jesus' perspective, and well should be our perspective, is of that eternal. And that's what the Lord Jesus is indicating here. And he answered them. They say to him, "Your mama and your brethren are outside. They want to talk with you. They're looking for you." And he answered them, verse 33, saying, "Who is my mother or my brethren?" Who are they? Who's my mother and my brethren? He asked the question. He looked around about on them that which sat about him and said, so he looks on them. Once again, the Lord Jesus looking at the crowd. He looks them all in the eye, maybe. He takes time and he looks about on all them. And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." He said, "These are my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." He says, the will of our Father is the most important. The will of my Father is the most important thing that there is. Now, this doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus didn't go out and talk with Mary and with his half-brothers and sisters. But he's putting in perspective what's the most important to the Lord, and it's eternal things. Eternal things. We need to have a mind towards eternal things. We don't need to forget about the things that are at hand here, but we need to put everything in its right perspective. He said, who's my brethren and my mother? Who is my mother and my brethren? He says, behold, my mother and my brethren, those that follow me, those that hear me, those that listen to me, for whosoever shall do the will of God, those that do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And what he's talking about there is just age differences, okay? Those are who the Lord's age, give or take. In this day, he's around 30-some years old. Those would be around his age, a little older and younger, would be his sisters. And then those would be much age, would be older, like Mary was, old enough to be his mother. He would look at them and have a care for them in that way. And then the men would be like his brethren. Why doesn't it say father? Well, there's one father. God's the Father in heaven. And so the Lord makes this declaration. The kinship that we have by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the kinship that'll matter for eternity. That's the kinship that'll matter for eternity. And so a great blessing for us to get a hold of that. The Lord Jesus says, and we've seen it in different passages, where the Lord Jesus says, if you are not willing to leave father, mother, sister, brother, for my sake, then you're not worthy of me. And he said, and he actually uses the word hate, which the Lord's not looking for us to hate our family, but he is looking and gives us understanding that our love for him should well and exceed the love that we have for our own children, our spouses, and our parents and brethren in that, because he is supreme. He is preeminent over all. Then we come here to Mark chapter 4. Let's take a look here and see what the scripture says. Mark 4 verse 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And so they brought a little ship, a little boat up there, and the Lord gets in it, he pushes out a little bit, and he teaches the multitude. That it keeps it makes it to where he can address them all rather than being thronged as he has been. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, a sower sowing seed. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100, or fold, the multiple of that. And so here it goes on to say in verse 9, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the Lord is teaching, and he's in the little boat, and the people are on this by the shore, and he says, "Listen, hearken. A sower goes out to sow his seed. And here's what I want you to think about as he sows. There's this field that's there, and there's a little road by this field, and that's where the hard-packed ground is. That's where people come by and travel. It says the wayside, the way, okay? There's that hard road where the farmer comes back and forth, and maybe even folks travel to and from town. And then over here, off to the side, there's some stony ground. So this is where the stones have been taken out of the field and been piled up. Bunch of rocks there. Don't want those rocks in the wayside. It makes it hard to travel. Don't want them in the field because that's no good either. That's the field's been prepared so it can grow well. And so there's this place over here with the rocks, and they're just, it's all stony and hard. And then there's over beyond the rocks over there, there's a place that hasn't been anything been done with, and all the thorns and thistles and the underbrush and all that is all grown up. Okay. So you got the wayside, you got over there at the stony ground, and then you got over here, where the thorns and the briars and all that are growing. And then you've got that cultivated field. Now, the sower, when he goes and sows, he wants to make sure he covers well the field that has been prepared, the field that is all ready and has been turned under, and the rocks got out of it, and the trees and the brush and all that. It's the good ground, the good ground that's being sown. And so he wants to make sure that he gets seed over all of that. And so what's he do? Well, when he's coming up by the down through the field and sowing that seed, he's sowing it liberally. And you know what? Some of it's going out there on the road because he wants to cover that field all the way up to the edge of the road. And then when he gets down there where the stony ground is at, where all the rocks are piled up, you know what? He wants to cover that part of the field too, because the field is what he's sowing the field, but you know, he wants to make sure he covers it all. And that seed, it bounces and jumps over there into that stony ground too. And you know what? As he's making the turn and there's that thorny patch down there at the end of the field, you know, he wants to make sure that he gets the field sown. And so there's seed that goes over there too. And then the whole field, he goes and walks to the whole field, sowing that seed out of his seed bag. And he's covering that field. But you know what? There's seed that goes out on the wayside. There's seed that goes in the stony ground. And there's seed that goes over there in the thorny ground. And he says at the end of that, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you hear that? Do you hear that about the sower of the seed? Do you hear that about the different types of ground that have been, mainly one type of ground that's been prepared? Do you hear it? Do you hear what our Lord's saying? Do you hear what the Word of God bears out? Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with His Word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.